want to invite you this morning, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, the book of Acts, and chapter 2 is where we will begin looking here today. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 is where we're going to look today. Okay. If you're there, you can say amen. Amen. The Bible tells us this. It says, now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray this morning now that as we are in this place, and Lord God, as we are here worshiping you, Father, I pray that in this moment now that we would listen to your Spirit speaking to us. And Father, not only would we listen to your Spirit speaking to us, but God, we would also respond today. Father, just as these people did years and years ago, Lord, as they heard your word proclaimed, and Father, as they listened intently, and Father, as they understood your word, Father, then they responded to your word. I pray this morning now, God, for that one person maybe who is sitting in this room with us, one listening by the internet, that God, in this moment, and Father, they would hear. God, they would know for certain whenever they leave this building or whenever they stop listening to the broadcast that God, in that moment, they would know for a fact today that their relationship with you is what it ought to be. Father, we thank you and we give you praise today. In the holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Well, this morning you have a decision, or you will have a decision to make here in just a few moments. This morning you will either accept or refuse what is about to be presented to you. You will either accept it and act upon what the Spirit is leading you to do today, or you will refuse it and do absolutely nothing. For some of us today, that may mean this, that we give our life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the very first time. Maybe we've never done that. Maybe we've never confessed Him and began a relationship with Him as Lord of our life. Maybe we haven't done that. For others, it may be that the conviction of sin fall in our life right here in this place this morning, and all of a sudden we realize that we are not what we ought to be in the eyes of a holy God, and that today is the day that we come before Him and repent of that sin and change our ways. The question is today, which one will you do? Will you either accept it or will you refuse it? Because we have the power to do that in this place here today. We have the power to accept what Christ, the Holy Spirit, is saying to us, and we also have the power to deny or refuse it totally. Get up and leave the same way we come in this place, not changed a bit. For some of us, we come into this place this morning just to be here. Maybe we're here because somebody else is here. We're here because somebody made us come. We're here just to be here. If you're here with that attitude, though, you're not going to get anything from this morning. But if you come here longing to hear from God and to anticipate hearing from God, you will not be let down. Ain't got nothing to do with my preaching. It's got everything to do with the Holy Spirit. And today, if we will respond to that, if we will listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us today, then our lives will be changed. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at Christian basics. We've looked at things such as the need that man has in the person of Jesus Christ. And then we looked at the work of Jesus Christ himself. Well, when all of that comes together then, it falls back into our lap, if you will, and what our response ought to be. Today, I want to talk for just a few minutes here about the response of man to all of us. The response of man. Here in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38 that we just read a moment ago, you've got to get the context in chapter 2 of what's happening here. Peter preaches a sermon, if you will. He basically goes through the salvation, what Christ has done for us, what He has done on the cross of Calvary. And after he finishes that sermon, the people that are there in front of him ask a very profound question, one that ought to echo into this place right here this morning. And his simple question is, what shall we do then? What do I do? I've heard this. Well, what do I do? Well, Peter goes on in here and explains to them exactly what they need to do. Well, today, let's take just a moment and look at some of the things or the ways that we ought to respond to this word. The word of God. Not what a preacher says, but what the word of God says. If you're following along with me here this morning in this, the first thing I want us to see is this, is that number one, we've got to hear the word of God. We've got to hear the word of God. The Bible tells us here in chapter 2 in verse 37, look at the first part of that verse there with me. It says this, now when they heard this, heard what? They heard the gospel. They heard the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard Peter preach how that these things, that Christ's actions would change their lives forever if they would allow it. What goes deeper inside of this right here is the word heard in the original Greek literally means and carries the meaning of understanding. I mean, really understanding. Understanding what the Word says, understanding what the Word is telling us today, making sure that we know exactly what's being said here. And any decision that's made here today is not made just out of a spur-of-the-moment thing, but it is actually the moving of God in our life. We understand that. Because see, this morning we can sit here in this room and we can hear all day long. We can be hearing and our mind be totally somewhere else. Like who's going to win the game tonight? Go Seahawks. We could be thinking right now, even as the preacher boy's preaching, I wonder what I'm going to have for dinner today. Could be like a friend of mine that pastored a church in Phoenix City, Alabama. Could have. Now, please, nobody do this. Could be like a friend of mine in Phoenix City, Alabama, pastoring a church right near the end of the service. The man stood up in the back of the room, says, preacher, it's been a good one. Right in the middle of the sermon. It has been a good sermon, preacher, but I've got to go. I've got a reservation at Bonanza. I didn't know Bonanza took reservations. Our minds could be wandering. But what our minds ought to be doing, as my brother prayed earlier, that we would have that laser focus this morning. Our focus needs to be on what God is saying to us this morning. We need to hear the Word of God, and to hear the Word of God is really to understand the Word of God. Heard the story one time of a lady who was going to visit some relatives in a foreign country, in the country of Germany. She was there visiting them, and sure enough, her trip entailed her getting onto a train and traveling to this particular town in Germany. Well, when she figured that all the people, surely somebody in the country of Germany would be speaking English where she could communicate with these people. Well, sure enough, she gets on the train. And here comes the guy checking tickets, comes by to where she's at and begins to conversate with her. And sure enough, she can't understand a word he's saying because he's speaking in German. Can't understand a word he's saying. She's wailing his arms around like this right here and pointing here and there. And she's just nodding politely as if she understood exactly what he was saying. She was clueless what he was saying. Didn't understand a word he was saying. Well, finally, he just took the ticket, punched it, gave it back to her, and walked on down the aisle. Well, sure enough, there was a soldier sitting behind her, and he tapped her on the shoulder and says, ma'am, do you speak German? No, I don't speak a word of German. Well, then that explains it. That explains why when that man told you you were on the wrong train, you didn't bat an eyelid. And you know what? Today, for some of us, this is not a foreign language. You really understand this. You realize today, for somebody in this room, you realize today that where you're at right now, God is not pleased with. You realize that sitting in this place right here today, that Lord have mercy, the way I've been living my life, the things I've done, said, how I've acted, how I've treated others. Oh my goodness. God frowns upon my life. Well, listen, if you're realizing that sitting in this place right here today, you're not in a bad place. You're not. You're in the best place you can be right now. Why? Because God is speaking to your heart right now. He is revealing to you who you really are and who I really am in His eyes today. See, it doesn't matter what these other people in here may think or say or know about us. It doesn't matter. What matters today is what God knows about us today. He knows exactly where we're at and what we're going through, what our battles are, what we're fighting. And today, for us, we need to hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God today. The second thing I want us to see is this, is that we need to allow the Word to speak to our hearts. If you were here last Sunday night, you realize that sitting in this room right here today, there is a battle raging inside of every one of us right now. There is the flesh and there is the Spirit of God. And those two collide every day. They collide each and every day. And I believe this with all my heart as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe this with all my heart that the worst time that that collision takes place is in services just like this right now. It's in services just like this right here because there is a pull inside of you and me that is trying its best. There's the flesh trying to pull us and pull us back to where we once were. Pull us back and get our attention off of the things being said. Get our attention off of how things are going inside this church this morning. Our minds begin to wander and go all over the place, and yet and still we are missing the Word of God speaking to our hearts today. If you notice right here in chapter 2, verse 37, the second part of that verse right there, you'll notice that the word says they were pierced to the heart. Some translations, some older translations use the word they were pricked in their hearts. What does that mean? That means that they had come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means simply this, that they realized the sin that was in their life. They realized what sin was and realized that it was in their life. For some of us today, that's happening right now in this room right here today. We're realizing that there is sin in our life. We're realizing that there's things that are inside of our life that are not pleasing to God at all. We are under conviction today. We are sitting here and the Spirit of God is revealing to us who we really are in the eyes of God. Oswald Chambers said this, and I quote, "Conviction of sin is one of the rarest things that ever strikes a man. It is the threshold of an understanding of God. Jesus Christ said that when the Holy Spirit came, He would convict of sin. And when the Holy Spirit rouses the conscience and brings him into the presence of God, it is not his relationship with men that bothers him, but his relationship with God." End quote. Well, I don't like what that preacher said. I don't like what he preached on today. Well, did you realize today that a preacher, if he's truly preaching the Word of God, you're not mad with the preacher, you're mad with God. See, God's Word is true, and I've learned this over the years of being a believer, that the truth sometimes hurts bad. But see, today, for those of us who are allowing the Word of God to speak to our hearts right here inside this place this morning, we realize and we see and we know that right now God is speaking to our hearts and that our hearts need changing. Take your Bibles and turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 with me for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now the Word of God tells us this. For the Word of God is living and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I believe this today, that the Word of God is so powerful today that we could just stand here and read this Word today, and that Word would reveal to us who we really are today. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us that clearly today. But did you know this? Listen to this. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. Flip back a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. And when you're there, you can say amen. Amen. The Bible says simply this: do not quench the Spirit. Do you realize that every one of us sitting in this room here today have the ability to do just that? Did you realize that our actions today sitting in this room could draw the attention of someone else off of what it ought to be and onto us? Did you realize that that could happen? Maybe we whisper something to the person next to us, and that very moment, someone's attention is drawn to that. Maybe pass a note, someone's attention is drawn to that. Those things can distract and even quench the very Spirit of God in the lives of people inside of this place. Quenching the Spirit is a very dangerous thing. Quenching the Spirit is a very dangerous thing for all of us whenever we become involved in such things. But there's one final thing that I want us to see this morning. And if you don't hear anything else that I say, I want you to hear what I'm about to say here this morning. And that's this, that you and I need to respond to the Word of God. There in verse 38, the Bible tells us clearly, Peter says this, when those people ask the question, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter gives them three things that they needed to do. They needed to repent, they needed to be baptized, and they needed to receive the Holy Spirit. He tells them that there in verse 38 of chapter 2 in Acts. He says this, and Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's very, very simple. Listen to this. What shall we do today? The first thing is this, is repent. What does that mean? That means turning from the way that you're living now and going in the totally opposite direction. That means turning from how you're living now and going in the direction towards God. It means rather running from God, now begin to run to God. That's what that means. Repent of the sin that's in our life, changing our life. And by the way, you can't change your life today. You have to rely on God to do that. Only God can change your life today. The preacher can't do it. The deacons can't do it. Sunday school teachers can't do it. COU teachers can't do it. Only God can change your life today. But turning to God and repenting from our sins is exactly what we need to do. Well, how do we do that? Well, for some of us, it is this today, sitting in this room. Here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible tells us this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. We're all sinners today. There's none exempt from that. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. The Word of God says that all of us are sinners. Well, the Bible goes on and tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it tells us this, that the wages of that sin is death today. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It is through Christ today. Now listen to this. The Bible tells us clearly that all of us have sinned. Then it goes on in chapter 6, verse 23 of Romans and tells us the wages of that sin is death. The results of that, if you will, the payoff of that is death. It's not a physical death or we'd all be gone here, but it is a spiritual death today, a death where we are separated from God Almighty today. But the Bible says this, that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus today. Then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you will be saved today. And your life will be changed forever. Every one of us. If we've never done that today, I'm here to tell you today is your day. Right now is your time. In this moment is your time. For some of us today, maybe we're believers, we're sitting in this room, say, you know what, I've done that. I've done exactly what the Word of God says. I've prayed that prayer. I have asked Christ into my life. But there's things in my life right now that I know is not pleasing to God. Well, if that is the case, then I praise the Lord that He give us verses like this that tells us, in 1 John, that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's for us sitting in this room here today. Maybe we are a believer, but there's sin in our life today. Then today is your day to repent of that and change your life today with the help of God. The second thing is this, not only did he tell them they needed to repent, but He said be baptized. If you were here last Sunday night, we went through this very in-depth. Baptism does not save you today. Water cannot wash away your sins. Only Christ can do that. Only Jesus can do that. We saw last Sunday night that it is an example or an outward expression of an internal change, a spiritual change in our life. The old man has died and the new man arises. We are new creatures in Christ, the Word of God tells us. It is an example that you and I follow that Jesus set for us years and years ago. But it is not what saves you. Only Christ can do that. And then finally is this, is to receive the Holy Spirit. You say, wait a minute now. I thought that we got the Holy Spirit whenever we asked Jesus Christ to come into our life and be Lord of our life. You're exactly right. This is the catch. For some of us today, for some of us, we have received the Holy Spirit through salvation, but we really haven't received the Holy Spirit in the fact that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to dominate our life today. We're just not. We are allowing the flesh to win out. We are allowing the flesh to win out over the things that we know are of God. We are allowing our flesh to dominate our life when we ought to be allowing the very Spirit of God to dominate every aspect of our life today. The question is, right now in this room, what will you do? It has been laid right before you, not what a preacher has said, but what the Word of God says. It has been laid right before you today. You will either accept or refuse right now what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Father God, I pray in this moment now that God, You would give strength where strength is needed. That God, You would give power where power is needed. That Lord God, today decisions would be made for Your glory. That in this moment now, God, when we have this time of invitation, Lord, where the opportunity is given to all to come to Christ, that Lord, we would do just that. Now, friend, wherever you're at in this room, I invite you to come right now. You don't have to wait till we start singing. You don't have to wait till anything like that. You just come right now. You say, I don't want to talk to a preacher. Well, that's fine. Just come to this altar right here, right now. Talk to God. Talk to Him. He's the one that can change your life today. A preacher can't do that, but we would be honored. We would be more than happy to pray with you right here in this moment. Father, I pray in this time of invitation now that, God, we see fruit brought forth in this place, not for the glory of this church or anybody, but, God, for yours today, we pray. I pray for that strength now for decisions to be made. I pray that there is victory in people's lives today. Victory that only you can give today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Allen, you lead us.
Stand as we sing. Oh, to Jesus I surrender.